Let's read together of the struggle and the triumph of the church on earth through Christ who loved us. Revelation 2 to the church in Pergamum, verses 12 through 17. It's found on page 1915 in your pew Bibles. 1915. Revelation 2, verses 12 through 17. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, "These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And this is the promise that our focus is on this morning, our text, verse 17b, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." May the Lord bless this word to our hearts and lives today. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the seven letters to the seven churches of Western Turkey, seven times Jesus says to each of the churches, "To him who overcomes." And every time it's followed by a promise or a group of promises to Ephesus. "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." What a promise. And then to Smyrna, "To him who overcomes, he will not be hurt at all by the second death." And now the promise to Pergamum. "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." We read of faith that conquers in every letter and throughout the book of Revelation, because this is a book, remember, about the triumph of the Lamb, or the movie version, as Sinclair Ferguson says, of Matthew 16:18, where Jesus says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Faith conquers through Christ who conquered for us. Yes, in Christ you will conquer, no matter how difficult the times might become or might be right now in your life. You will win. Not because you're strong, but because the Lord Jesus, who loves you, who shed his blood for you, is eternally strong and will not let go of those who are his own. "I hold them in my hand and nobody will snatch them from my hand." Faith that conquers. We want to see, first of all, faith's constant battle. "To him who overcomes" teaches us there's a battle that we're in as the body of Jesus Christ. A battle, a spiritual war here on earth. But it also teaches us faith wins the complete victory. "I will give him the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone with a new name on it, which no one knows except the one that receives it." The victory is spoken of there. First of all, then, faith's constant battle, this faith that conquers. "To him who overcomes." Overcome means to conquer, to win the war, to gain the victory in battle. It's a message to all seven churches. And remember, that's a symbolic number, meaning Jesus is talking to all the churches across all the globe and across all time, including ours. "To him who overcomes." To him, to her who conquers, there's a great blessing in store. It teaches that the road to heaven is not a smooth road lined with flowers and fruit trees. The road to heaven is a difficult one, lined with troubles, pains, hardships, assaults. Temptations from inside us assault us. Attacks from Satan from outside us assault us. And he has many agents in this world to help him. Paul said that to the newly planted churches on his way home from the first missionary journey, Acts 14:22. It's necessary. They were wondering, why are we going through so much suffering? He said, it's necessary through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, there's the road that Jesus has marked out for you. It's not lined with flowers and fruit trees, but with tribulations, because Jesus wants you to participate in his suffering before you enter your glory, so that you look more and more like him, like his pathway. He went through a cross to get the crown, and he gives us a cross. I want you to go through a cross to get to the crown, so your life might imitate mine. It's for his glory. But it's a life of suffering. Paul described his own journey this way, a fight. I have fought the good fight, he says at the end of his life in 2 Timothy, his last letter, one of his last letters written. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but all who love his appearing. Fought the good fight. He says to Timothy in 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Faith is a fight. Hold on to eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hang on to your confession. Don't let go of Jesus whom you confessed. Faith is a choice for Jesus every day. You can't just say when you're 18, okay, I believe. And that's it. That'll carry me through. Well, faith will carry you through because Jesus is the one you believe. He'll carry you through. But you choose Jesus every day. And that's the work of his Spirit in you. It's an ongoing fight. When Paul says here, or when John says here, to him who overcomes, to him who conquers, it's in the present tense, this verb, this participle, meaning to him who keeps on conquering. Because we face many temptations and many trials and many hardships and many pains and many afflictions and many persecutions. And every time again, we have to decide, is it Christ or my job? Well, my job can't give me life. My job can't forgive me. My job can't make me rich. Only Christ can give me life and joy and wealth. It's Christ. Sadly, many Christians expect to make it to heaven. No sweat, no fight, no problem. To use the words of Isaac Watts, they expect to be carried to the skies in flowery beds of ease. They lollygag through life as if there are no foes to face, no flood to stem, as if this vile world is a friend that leads them on to God. They do not watch and pray. They do not put on the full armor of God. They're sitting ducks for the devil and easy prey for temptation. And if that's you, I want to warn you, that's not the kind of faith that's going to last. And it's not the kind of faith that your children will carry on. Because it's not real. You will fall by the wayside. Don't let that happen to you. To him who overcomes means to him who really rests in Christ alone for his salvation and can't let go because anything else is going to destroy you. That's faith. And let the repetition of this truth, to him who conquers, 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 7 times, sink deeply into our souls and challenge us to fight the good fight of faith, to put on the full armor of God, to be alert and vigilant, to watch and pray, to pray, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. As we hope to sing later, pilgrim through this barren land, I'm weak. The strongest here is weak. But thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Every day, let's be driven to the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Your whole salvation is there. That's what it is to conquer. not to fight in your own strength, but every day realize your weakness, run to the cross and the empty tomb and say, there's my strength to keep going. Jesus is my salvation every day again. The work that he did at the cross is a never-ending flow stream for my forgiveness and strength for my continuation as a pilgrim, a persecuted pilgrim in this world. Because like the church at Pergamum, we live where Satan dwells. And the world is not truth, friendly to truth. It's not friendly to Christ. It's not friendly to the Bible. It's not friendly to anybody who holds to Christ, the truth, and the Bible. And will make you do its best to make you feel stupid, strange. Right now, there's a church in Oshawa, Calvary Baptist Church, who has removed a member because that member was openly going against the teachings of the Bible. She has put out her case in the public. The press has gotten hold of it, being spread around everywhere. And you can imagine how every member feels. They, wherever they go, we're despised around here. I hope nobody knows I belong to Calvary Baptist. But it's an honor to be despised for the sake of Christ when it's for the sake of truth, the sake of the gospel. And that's the kind of culture and environment in which we have to boast in the cross and not cower and become afraid, which would be my first temptation. And that's why we need his word, so we can keep conquering every day. That is, not deny Christ, but hold on to him in faith and go with him to give us strength for the journey every day. You remember Elijah, depressed, discouraged, dejected at Mount Sinai, thinking it's over. There's no more fight left in me. There's no more strength. This boy can't go on anymore. And then God comes and strengthens him at Mount Sinai. Remember how? Strengthens this persecuted prophet. Well, he sends a wind, a powerful wind. God's not in the wind. He sends an earthquake. God's not in the earthquake. He sends a fire. Elijah doesn't find God in the fire. And then he hears a quiet whispering voice speaking promises of salvation. God is there, and he's encouraged, and he stands up, and he rises, and he goes back to Israel, back to his ministry as prophet. We need that word of God, on the Lord's Day, as much as we can get. Hunger and thirsting for Jesus and more of him. We need his word every day too, to read, study, meditate, to be part of a Bible study. We need to be in the word, because that's the way, with prayer, we put on the armor of God. That's the way faith conquers. That's the way we fight the good fight. That's the way we meet Jesus, our Savior. Because we can't do it in our own strength. That's the way we become like Antipas, that martyr in Pergamum, who held fast to Jesus' name and did not deny the faith of Jesus. How to fight, how to overcome. Revelation 12, if you go to Revelation 12 and verse 1, you just look ahead there for a moment. That sort of gives the rest of the story of how the saints conquer in Pergamum, Ephesus, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Thyatira, and all the churches and Providence. Notice Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him, that's the dragon, Satan, by three things. By the blood of the Lamb, there's the ultimate answer. By the word of their testimony, number two. And three, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Number one, by the blood of the Lamb they overcame. They trusted in the blood that sets them free from their sins and seals them for heaven. With his blood, Revelation 5, he ransomed us for God. With his blood, Revelation 1, 5 and 6, he set us free from our sins and made us a kingdom and priest to our God. With his blood, he takes our sin upon himself. With his blood, God's curse for us is redirected and put on Jesus. With his blood, God's wrath upon me is quenched at the cross. With his blood, I am saved. I am saved forever. I'm preserved. I'm brought safely through to the heavenly kingdom. And at his table today, he reminds us, it's with my blood that you're saved, you're sealed, you're safe. Trust in me every day. And my finished work, not your hard work. Though you've got to fight hard. But fighting hard is just fighting to hold on to his work. Resting in his spirit to put that fight in you. Number two, they overcame by the word of their testimony. They so rested in the blood of Christ, so depended upon life in Jesus' death, that they held fast to the truth of the Bible. Did not deny God's word under pressure. John was exiled, remember, to the island of Patmos. Revelation 1 verse 9. For the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Antipas was put to death for his faithful testimony. Now that might not look like conquering, but he conquered because he did not deny the faith of Christ. He did not deny the name of Christ. That's conquering. That's being faithful even unto death. That's winning. Losing is running away from Christ to try to protect and preserve your life and your name and your reputation in the community, in your family. And the third way they conquered: by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by not loving their lives so much as to shrink from death. They overcame by love. They did not lose their first love. Their love for Jesus and his cross and his resurrection and for his cause, sharing his name to those around him. They did not lose their first love. When there was a choice to compromise, remember, between Christ or their job, it was Christ. Christ or the government grant, it was Christ. Christ or that friendship or that relationship that doesn't honor him, it was Christ. Christ or your family, it was Christ. Because many families said then, deny Christ or you're out of here. We'll even try to kill you, as happens in many families today around the world. Christ or your life, it was Christ. You put Christ above everything and everybody else because of who he is, what he's done for you. He's so dear and he's so precious, and there's no life or hope or help without him. That's the victory that conquers the world, says John in 1 John 5 verse 4, even our faith. That is who faith hangs on to, the Savior Jesus. And we see, secondly, faith's complete victory. That faith that lasts, that trusts in Jesus every day, every step of the way, every battle, every temptation, though it's so weak because it's just running to Jesus every day. Help me, so I can stand. Which looks so unimpressive in this world, is the faith that brings us to final victory. To him who overcomes, Revelation 2:17b, Jesus says, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. As we did last week, let's look again at those two promises. I will give some of the hidden manna. Remember manna? That special tasty bread that God dropped out of heaven onto the ground when Israel was in the wilderness and they had no food. And he shepherded his flock faithfully by giving them, when the dew went away, there was this bread waiting on the ground for them every morning. And it's Saturday or Friday for two mornings, so they wouldn't have to go through the work of picking it up on their Sabbath day. And then remember what God said to Moses. Take one jar, one omer of that manna, about 1.5 kilo, and store it in the most holy place in the ark or by the ark, as a remembrance that God took care of you, his people, in the wilderness with bread from heaven. And so that's what Moses did. And there was forever that memory there in the most holy place with that hidden manna. They weren't allowed to enter that most holy place except the high priest once a year. God feeds his people in the wilderness. And one day, we get to go through that curtain in the most holy place and eat with him there. And that's what we get to enjoy at the Lord's Supper. A little taste of that supper that one day we'll get to have. We'll get to go through the curtain of heaven into the most holy place where Jesus is at the right hand of God. And that jar of manna will become a banquet of the best of foods, says the Bible, and the best of wines, where we'll sup with our God. And like Israel in the wilderness, manna was just a foretaste of that bread of life, Jesus, that they would share with him in eternity. So here we have God feeding his people in the wilderness, weak, needy, tempted, persecuted, worried, afraid, and feeding us until finally we reach that great supper of the Lamb. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Some, because all the saints will be there together and it gets shared. Still, so that everybody has more than enough. And when we sing later, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. The idea of not wanting anymore is feed me until I come to a spot where all my wants are supplied, heaven. Until I'm at that banquet where there's no lack anymore. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. I shall not want. So I ask you, are some of you in a bind? Or feeling the pressure right now to conform? Or feeling the need to give up, to quit the race? Well, like Elijah, you need bread for the journey. Take, eat, remember, and believe that what Christ did for you is enough to carry you through. Trust in him every day. And the second promise, to him who overcomes, I will also give a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. A white stone with a name written on it. A white stone was used in that culture for different things. It was used in the athletic games. Winners were given a white stone to honor them for their victory. It was used by clubs and guilds as a way to vote for new members, admit new members. They were given white stones and black stones to vote. And if they didn't want to admit one, they got a black stone. Raise a black stone. If they said, yep, that person should be admitted, they would raise the white stone. It was also used, as we said last week, in a court of law. The members of the jury would be given a white stone and a black stone. If they believed the man was guilty, they'd raise the black stone of conviction. If they believed that person was innocent, they would raise the white stone of acquittal. I give you a white stone to declare that you're a winner in the marathon of faith. I honor you for your victory, says Jesus. To declare that I admit you into the club, the kingdom of heaven, and to declare that you're acquitted of all the crimes that Satan's accusing you of and the world is accusing you of. You're acquitted through my blood. Well done, my good and faithful servant. White stone with a new name written on it. And as we asked last week, what is that name written on it? And there's a lot of speculation. But I think from two passages in Revelation, we know what name was written on it. Revelation 14, verse 1, says that the redeemed have Christ's name and the Father's name written on their foreheads. Symbolic, of course. But Christ's name and the Father's name written on their foreheads. And the church in Philadelphia is told in Revelation 3, verse 12, that overcomers, conquerors have written on them the name of God and of Jesus Christ and of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. You're given a stone with the name of your God. And that's God saying, I gave you the greatest gift of all. You have me. You have me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have fellowship with me forever in the holy city. I'm admitting you into the sacred courts of heaven. You get to fellowship and dwell and banquet and sup with me forever and ever. And to you who hold fast in faith to Christ as pilgrims here, you will spend eternity as victors with him there. And there the Son will lead you to springs of living water, the Bible says. And there the Father will spread his tent over you and say, come into my house. Blessed perfection. And there'll be no more death. Or crying, or mourning, or pain, only glory, happiness, sweet fellowship, and every day digging deeper and deeper into the glory of God, the glory of creation, the new creation, the glory of the cross, the glory of salvation. It will be a great time with God. And there too, as Paul said, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. Not worthy to be compared doesn't mean it's like this versus that, but it's like this. I don't know if you can see my fingers, but there's no space between them. It's nothing, the sufferings of the present time, when you put it against the weight of glory that's coming. New stone, where you're awarded with God. Well, may God encourage us by the promise of victory to fight the good fight of faith, to cling to Jesus, walk with Him, trust in Him, follow Him every day and every hour till we reach the victory. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that in the Lord Jesus Christ there is a pathway to victory, though lined with troubles, tribulations, temptations. There is a way ahead through Christ who strengthens us. Through His cross, where our sin is forgiven and put to death, and His resurrection, where new life is ours, a new life that keeps going and growing. Lord Jesus, continue to feed us with Your bread of heaven until we reach that great marriage supper of the Lamb. Feed us today. Strengthen and encourage our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.